Wednesday.
It is Wednesday.
Why don't they say it like that? They make everybody, except I refuse to do it, say February.
You know
I never
why, Wendy?
Say that.
I'll tell you why. Because there's a war on Wednesday. We are experiencing a war on Wednesday, Wendy.
Let's try and say that three times fast.
I'm surprised I got it out the first time. We just received the sad news that legendary White Sox slugger Oscar Gamble has died at the age of 68. See if you notice a trend in the obituaries that I will read to you off the internet. This the first one is from the Sporting News. Oscar Gamble, big-haired 17-year Major League Baseball player, dead at 68. This one is from Yahoo Sports. Oscar Gamble, the man with baseball's best hair, dies at 68.
Wait, Steve Bertrand said 75.
Yeah, Steve's thing is he always adds 7 years. He always does.
What, dog year?
Always, yeah.
I am going to add a dog year onto everyone's life.
New York Daily News. Oscar Gamble, known for his afro and lefty power, is dead.
Bill, all you saw was that hair. It was fantastic.
It was fantastic, but if you were Oscar Gamble, wouldn't you hope that your legacy would be more than your fantastic hair?
Well, it was, but that just, you know.
This is the first thing they mention in almost, I'm looking down the line, nearly every obituary for him, some of them sports websites, some of them just regular news. The first thing that's mentioned is his hair, and I guess it's the first thing you'd notice about him.
And his mustache.
He had a pretty good mustache.
He looks like Richard Roundtree.
Oh, boy, does he.
Doesn't he?
Yes.
A very handsome man.
Yes.
Poor Oscar Gamble, dead at 68.
Yeah, even that is disturbing to me because in my head, he's in his 30s. And I know that time marches on, but I'm used to him being in his 30s. So whenever I think about him, oh, yeah, the hair is part of it. But he's in his 30s. He couldn't be 68 years old. That's impossible.
Bill, the hair is
the hair's the calling card.
I mean, come on.
Right. But if you were him, wouldn't you go, oh, fellas, that's very nice of you about my hair, about calling me having the greatest hair in baseball history. But how about those years I was hitting home runs anytime I felt like it, I would just hit a home run. How about that?
Well, that's mentioned, but come on, when you put a baseball cap over a fro that sweet,
yes,
you kind of look like Larry from the Three Stooges. It's noticeable.
There's a picture of him. It doesn't say what year this picture is.
He was on the Yankees?
Cleveland Indians. No, in this particular shot, so that one I've seen. That's one of the years. I know you didn't collect baseball cards, did you?
No.
All right. They used to do this thing over at Topps where if a player was traded just before it was time to send out the baseball cards, they would paint on your new uniform.
Oh,
like
really?
Your baseball cap and your pinstripes, whatever. It was painted on you, and that was one of the years that Oscar Gamble was traded just before the baseball cards got released, so it was so obvious, you know, that his uniform was painted on him.
I didn't realize that. I have some quotes from Oscar Gamble.
What did he say? Are they all hair-related?
No. I don't know why, but inspiringquotes.us has some
I can see that.
Oscar Gamble
quotes.
He was
inspiring.
They don't think it be like it is, but it do.
Yep.
That's Oscar Gamble.
I agree with that. You tried disagreeing with that.
Oscar Gamble, this doesn't seem like a quote.
What is it?
When I'm at bat, I'm in scoring position.
I like that too.
Well, it seems like obvious.
Well, traditionally in baseball, they consider
if you're
on second base or third base, you're in scoring position. I've always thought, you know, and my philosophy is very much like Oscar Gamble's, as is my hair, that from the second you pick up a bat, you should think of yourself as being in scoring position.
Well, yeah, because you can hit
positive.
A home run.
Yeah. Yep.
And things ain't like they say they be, but they... Oh, that's a little derivation of the original one, but things ain't like they say they be, but they do.
No, he's right again. You can't quibble with the wisdom that was Oscar Gamble's.
No, and I didn't mean to interrupt you because I showed you a picture of him with his painted on Yankees thing, but you said there's a picture of him.
There's a picture of him. He's with the Cleveland Indians. He's sliding into third base, and all you see is dust and his hair.
So, listen, he was a great baseball player and played with many teams.
Yeah.
And no one's disputing that, but I think I guess you could say baseball great Oscar Gamble has died, but you, you gotta,
he's known for his hair, I guess.
This is the most beautiful fro I have ever seen in my life.
No, I'm with you.
And I didn't... Didn't I read somewhere that they had to make his cap different to fit on top of that? I thought I read that somewhere.
I don't remember reading it, but I guess you'd have to make some sort of an allowance
if
there's that much hair going into your hat.
Either that or wear, like, bobby pins.
Right. Right.
I mean, I'm serious.
So it's not a... If you're... All right, so he's gone, obviously. We've lost Oscar Gamble. But if you're his family, if you're the children of Oscar Gamble or his wife or something, you don't say, hey, my dad, you know, he played for 17 years. He had quite a career. Maybe throw the hair thing in the second or third or fourth paragraph. You don't do that. You just accept it and go, well, he did have a lot of great hair, so I'll play with that. I'm good with that.
Did you read the New York Post headline?
No, what's it say?
Big hair, big heart.
Oh, see, that's beautiful.
That one is
that's
the best.
That's beautiful.
Because you're covering both.
Right. Right. Very inspirational, Oscar Gamble.
Oh, God, this is terrible from the New York Daily News. Oscar Gamble's life has taken him to and fro. That is the worst headline ever.
No,
I mean,
that's beautiful.
Really?
That was, yeah.
I don't like it.
That's hysterical. Whose is that?
That's the New York Post.
Oh, good for them. To and fro. I like that.
I don't much like
no?
it.
No? Oh, man. It's not only in pain, and it... Is John Williams sneaking up on us? I heard John Williams trying to scare us.
He wants to talk about
John.
Oscar Gamble.
So, I know you're a lifelong White Sox fan.
Yes.
Who else can you name from that team? That would be your 77 Southside Hitmen, a very offensively productive baseball team. Can you name anybody else?
You guys mentioned Richie Zisk.
Richie Zisk, for sure.
Carlton Fisk wasn't there yet.
He wasn't there yet.
God, I don't know, Bill.
First baseman was Jim Spencer.
Wouldn't know that.
But his backup was Lamar Johnson.
I know that name.
He was pretty good. I'm trying to remember who else would have been
on that
team.
What year are we talking?
1977. The third baseman at that point would have been Eric Soderholm.
I know that name. Boy,
yeah,
look at
good.
You.
The catcher there would have been either Jim Essien.
Don't know him.
Or I think Bill Naharodny was with him in 1977.
Don't know that either.
You don't know him either? I just mentioned Bill Naharodny when we had Frank Thomas on the other day.
Yes, and I didn't know who that was then, and I don't know who it is now. My grandfather watched the White Sox on his little tiny black and white TV. It was Channel 44.
Yeah, right. They were on 44 at the time.
And it wasn't a very good picture.
You couldn't... it was horrible. All you saw was fuzz.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. It looked like a snowstorm was going on
right.
in the middle of Comiskey.
Right. I think you'll remember the center fielder from that team, by the way.
I don't know positions.
Chet Lemon.
Yeah, oh, God.
Chet Lemon.
Of course I know Chet Lemon.
And I think that was a team, I'm almost positive this is true, they did not get shut out for the first 106 or 107 games that year, which is very, very rare. But they just scored, it seemed like at will. It was like Tom Brady was on the team. They could just score like anytime they felt like it. They go, let's put up a 5 and see what happens. Let's put up a 7.
And then how'd they do as the season progressed and playoffs approached?
Didn't make it.
Really?
Yeah. Didn't make it. And everybody had very high hopes for that team because they were so good offensive. Just so good. And Oscar Gamble, like I said, downstairs, second only to Richie Zisk. I think Oscar Gamble had 40 home runs that year. I think Zisk had 42 or 43, and Oscar Gamble had 40. It was right around there.
Well, that's sad. And,
very sad.
68 is not,
no.
is not old enough, if you want to know the truth.
No.
Especially when you're looking smack dab in the middle of 55 coming up in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
68 is not...
Yeah.
People are... Listen, I'm not going to make it to 100, although I might just to spite you.
I wish you wouldn't. It'd be a lot easier for me if you didn't.
That will kill you, because I'm
right.
like 7 months older than you, six
yeah.
or 7 months older than you, and if I make it to 100, you will be so mad at me for making it to 100 that you will have a heart attack
me,
and die.
It'll end me. It would end me.
All right, so I won't make it to 100 because I don't want to be responsible for killing you.
Because I'll say to myself, look at all the hours I put in a health club.
And she smoked.
And yeah.
And drank.
Smoked and drank.
Ate fast food.
Hung out with sailors.
Well, that keeps me young.
Right.
Or kept me young.
Yeah.
Oops.
Yeah.
Oops.
Yeah. Oops. Slip. Yeah. We'll see how that pans out. Now, if I may, really quickly, since we're on the subject of people no longer with us, yesterday at the beginning of the show, the bonus hour, we received the sad news about this actor from Glee, who took his own life. Remind me his name. Is it Mark Salling?
I'm looking it up because I unfortunately
played Puck on Glee. Mark Salling.
Salling, yeah. Pleaded guilty to child pornography charges. Was found dead at the age of 35.
Yeah.
So I heard Dean say today he was found in a park or wooded area or something.
Here's what I noticed. His co-stars from Glee, like when Corey Monteith died of a drug overdose, the people he worked with came out of the woodwork to just say glowing, wonderful things about him and how sad it is and how horribly he'll be missed. With Mark Salling, you only had three people from the show make very brief statements saying, you know, the version we knew of him was pretty good. He was a nice guy to work with. Now, let's be honest, it's almost impossible, if not 100% impossible, to defend somebody who's connected with child pornography.
It's still, and Dean put this, I'm paraphrasing because Dean said it much more eloquently, but to make a bad story have an even worse ending is the fact that Mark Salling died.
Yes, it
I
is.
I mean,
it became so drastic that he found that the only way out was this. That's as sad can be.
And it is hard to defend. Plus, we were reading about this, like, was it over 50,000 child pornography pictures or something like that?
Right.
Wow. I can't find that information, and that might not
It was be. A very high number.
Yeah, it was something some female victims were as young as 3 to 5 years of age. It's hard to say something.
Right.
But I guess, again, you have to say something like, it depends. If it's somebody who was your friend, you have to say, he was a troubled young man. Well, and maybe he's at peace now.
That's probably the best way to put it. But I was comparing it in my head to people like Louis C.K., where Louis was extremely well-respected in stand-up circles and beyond. But I found it interesting in that people who were close to him, Zach Galifianakis is one, they had a pretty strong working relationship on Baskets, where Louis C.K. was the executive producer, where he said, yeah, I don't talk to him at all anymore. Just the thought of it creeps me out. I can't have anything to do with him. And there have been other people close to Louis who have just, you know, really like rescinded, just, you know, I have nothing to do with him. I don't want any connection to him anymore.
But see, Bill, I wonder, I really do, and I hate to use you as an example, but seriously, if like some terrible story came out about you, mm-hmm. I would say that's not the Bill Luff that I knew.
Right.
I'm sorry to hear this. It troubles me to hear it. I'm not, you know, but I wouldn't like just
throw you under a bus.
Yeah.
Right.
And you know what? Maybe Zach Galifianakis does not need Louis C.K. anymore, but perhaps he did at the beginning. So he wants to just wash his hands of it. Because it's true. You don't want to be associated with someone like that.
Right.
But it's also human to go, wow, this one really shocked me. That's not the side of him I saw. I'm troubled to hear this. I wish him well.
But isn't it possible, and I'm not defending any of these things from Mark Salling to Louis C.K. to anybody.
Right.
But it's very possible, and I think Sarah Silverman actually said this about Louis C.K., that you could have somebody as a friend and not know, you know, what's going on in the dark recesses of their mind.
Absolutely. I don't know what you do on your time off.
I don't know what I do on my time off.
But seriously.
Once I leave here, I have no idea.
And, you know, especially a working relationship, honest to God.
Right.
I mean,
right.
You know, now with Facebook and stuff, I like to, what's it called when you check out somebody's face? Creep. I creep on Steve Bertrand's page all the time to see what's going on at his house.
I saw yesterday you bit the head off a squirrel. There's a picture of Steve just biting the head off of a squirrel. There's blood coming out of his cheek, and he's got a big smile, like a demonic smile. You wouldn't think that to hear him on the air. You'd think this is a nice, normal guy, but there he is, biting the heads off of squirrels and smiling about it.
But I don't really know what he does in his spare time besides plan trips for Steve Bertrand travel.
Right.
I mean, I've known you a long time, so I do kind of know.
Yeah.
You don't do much. You order food and go see movies when possible and play tennis whenever you can.
You just described every day that I've experienced over the last 20 years.
I pretty much sleep and bitch.
Yeah.
So
yep.
We know each other.
That's
well.
Easy.
But I mean, like Judy Pylak, I went to see her as the Goodbye Girl last weekend,
yeah.
And then I was like, she was there with her daughter, and I didn't know that she was bringing Kaylee, and I thought, you know, I'll go have a beer with Judy.
Right.
I haven't really hung out with her in her neighborhood,
yeah.
And it's like I don't really know what Judy Pylak does. I don't know. And then I saw her house on a little video, and I felt like, wow.
You know a little more about her.
Yeah, but I mean, people you work with, you don't necessarily know their private life.
Right.
So, and I like that Sarah Silverman said that.
Yeah, I thought it was a very honest way of saying what I guess anyone would be faced with if somebody that was close to you, because they'd been doing, they'd been friends for 25 years
yeah.
through comedy and stuff. So, you don't want to be guilty by association. I like if I had a friend who said to me,
you'd drop them like a ton
of bricks. I couldn't be friends with them anymore.
I could not do that. Honest to God, I couldn't. I would say, this really comes as a surprise to me.
Right.
I've known them for over 20 years, and I'm preparing my statement for you.
Oh, thank you.
I
already have stuff written for when yours is revealed.
I know you do.
I do.
I would just say, you know, this comes as a surprise to me. That is not the side of Bill Leff that I ever saw.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear this. That's how I'd say
yeah.
it. I wouldn't go, I disown him.
Would you
know,
say
he's
dead
to me.
In my thoughts and prayers?
No. People use that too loosely now.
I guess I won't say it either then when your secrets are revealed. I'll just say thoughts because I'm not religious. I'll go, she's in my thoughts and I'm secretly laughing about her situation. I'll say that too.
You wouldn't even be secretly laughing about it.
I'm openly laughing at
yes.
the situation.
But I just said, Judy, I went to see you. Goodbye, girl. You had your daughter with you, but I didn't know you were bringing her. And I thought maybe we could go get a beer afterwards because I don't know the Judy, like outside of work, hanging out in her neck of the woods. So
right.
she is fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
If so, you do say so yourself, which you will. But I mean, like Louis C.K., if you're friends with him and all of a sudden this comes out, Sarah Silverman was saying, this shocks me. I didn't know that side of him. I would be like that. I wouldn't drop a friend. And
right.
then Zach Galifianakis said, I
wash my hands.
I couldn't
he creeps
do
me
that.
Out. He said he
That's
creeps
weird.
Me out.
It was, I would say hearing this creeps me out.
Right.
That's not something I ever expected, but, you know, he was a friend of mine. I'm just as shocked as everyone else. There's my statement.
Yeah. I guess there are people that I wouldn't try to defend, but I would do a version of other people. I would jump on the bandwagon
I'd be
and
gone.
Say, we got to burn this guy's house down.
Or girl.
Right.
You would say if something untoward came out about me, Bill would go, I knew it all
yeah,
along.
Yeah, I could
no
tell.
No one believed
yeah.
me.
She was nuts. That Wendy was crazy. I knew this was going to happen sooner or later with the worshiping of Satan.
The good news about me is I am such an open book
right.
that anything that I've done
to be shocking.
Right.
They'll be like, well,
it's already
duh.
Out there.
That's what I'm going to say when they.
I'll do this me. About Wendy. Oh, she did way worse than that.
Right.
Do you think that's bad? I got stuff.
All right. I'm okay with you saying that. But just don't reveal the worst stuff.
Do you remember years ago when you and I worked at Q101 together? I don't remember who passed away. But we were trying to decide what we should say about it on the air. I think it was when Chris Farley died, maybe. And I said
he was
to you,
just in our studio with Nicolette Sheridan.
Yeah, right.
He had some
Kung Fu movie.
Yeah.
Kung Fu Ninja or something?
Something like that.
Yeah. But I said to you, if I die in a weird way, I not only give you permission to, but I want you to make fun of it. I want you to be the first one to come out and make fun of it on the air. That would mean a lot to me.
Jasmine, save that on tape, by the way.
What's a weird way?
If I die in a freak accident,
giant toy falls
right,
on top of
a toy
of
falls
like, yeah,
on
the
me,
suffocates
yeah.
him.
Or like okay. the one time I decided to pet a dog, if the dog just went rabid on me and bit my head off.
That would give me so much satisfaction if that is how you died. I'm sorry, it really would. For all these years of not eating my soup because I have a dog.
But
if
that's tragic.
Poisoned,
the
if
toy
I get
is
soup
funny.
Poisoning.
That's tragic. It's
right.
got to, I mean, there are only a couple of things that could happen that would actually be funny.
Oh, I guess.
Right?
Yeah. But you could make it funny, like, depending on how it
works. Yeah. Well, yeah, we could make anything
you
funny.
You could throw it in to make it funny.
I need some time.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to.
Like a
it
day
depends.
Or a week or a month?
Depends if I had a
an
crystal
hour.
Ball.
Yeah.
Depends.
An hour.
You got to go in a good way, Bill.
When did we find out about Bill dying? 3 o'clock? Wait till 4. 4:05, right after the news, we'll do something on it. That's fine.
I just hope when I die, I'm not found naked. That's really all I worry
Interesting.
About.
Interesting.
I'm not even kidding you.
Yeah.
Because
it's just
You don't want people to see you naked?
Well, think about it.
People are going to talk about you being naked.
Yeah, but it's like, you
know. I'm going to tell people that Wendy always said the one thing she wants is during the service, she wants to be naked at the wake.
So let's all picture her right now naked.
No,
she's always saying, please, at my wake, make sure that I'm naked, please.
Because think about it. If you're naked, you're either having sex or taking a shower.
Or?
Going to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Okay, so those are three ways I really don't want somebody to find me.
I got it, yeah.
Including my husband, my kids, or the paramedics.
Right.
Wow.
I know.
Right. You've thought about this, huh?
A little bit. And about my service, if the girl does not get my makeup or hair right,
there will be hell to pay.
I know. That's really all I worry about.
Yeah.
Right. So if I go before Jim, poor Jim finding the right person.
So what you might want to do is ask one of your friends or someone who a makeup artist.
Lock that in now.
Lock it in. Yeah.
Get it
because
in done
if you
now.
Leave it up to the funeral home,
they'll just
you
get
never
a local.
Know. Yeah.
I'll look like Phyllis Diller. Although I kind of already do.
And I would let Bill nowhere near you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Right.
Wendy told me.
He'd draw like a happy face on you.
I would do clown tears and stuff on your cheeks.
Oh my God.
He would become it. There she is. That's how I remember
Jim
her.
Jim would not let you do it. And Jim likes you sometimes more than me, but he would He would use force to keep you away.
What are the first three letters of funeral, Judy?
Fun.
F-U-N.
Yep.
We're going to live up to that. All right.
First two letters, F-U.
All right, a quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Jude. I know you got to go.
Sorry, guys.
Well, tomorrow, Judy.
Okay.
We'll talk more tomorrow. Wendy, I need to make a quick correction or two.
Uh-oh. What did I say wrong?
No, this is both on me. Good. I made both these mistakes. I said that Oscar Gamble in 1977, I thought, hit 40 home runs as a member of the White Sox. He hit 31.
That's a big difference.
It is a big difference. I was off by nine. That's a lot of home runs.
You should be fired.
I also said that I thought that for a while he was the Prime Minister of England. It turns out that Oscar Gamble was never the Prime Minister of England. I don't know why I thought he was. It's a huge mistake. I apologize to Oscar Gamble's family.
All right. Good to know. Are you doing anything for the big game? Can I say Super Bowl if I'm not like benefiting from it?
No. You get sued if you say Super Bowl.
Let's get ready to rumble the Super Bowl.
You're going to get sued. So you're not going to have any money ever now.
Michael Buffer.
You can't say either of those things.
That's not correct.
I don't think you can even think the word Super Bowl because you'll get fired by the NFL.
I am not going to a Super Bowl party this year. I have in the past. A lot of the neighborhood girls and families get together.
Just the girls?
No, it's the whole family.
Yeah.
And it's fun. And I like the squares. I never win, but I like doing the squares.
Yeah.
But I've decided I just want to stay home at my own house and make wiener wraps, which are the little smokies wrapped in crescent rolls.
Right.
And dip them in mustard.
Oh, those are good.
They really are good, and I never make them, so I'm going to make those for the big game.
Seems appropriate for that.
And a cheddar cheese and beer dip that you dip pretzels in.
Oh.
That's all I want to do.
If I ate your food, I would probably have that.
Wow,
I'm not gonna. But if I did, that would be both of those things would be things that I would have.
It's like shredded cheddar cheese, sour cream cheese, and a half a can of beer, and it's just like
It's a lot of dairy.
Yeah, but you just put it on. You dip crackers in pretzels in it.
Oh,
super good.
That does sound pretty good. Now, you're not the biggest football fan. I know
I like to watch every once in a while. I don't even like the commercials anymore. I don't know. I mean, I will watch the halftime show. Is Justin Timberlake, correct?
Yes. Yes.
I'll watch that.
Yeah. I don't know. Since I stopped gambling,
I'm getting old.
It's harder to enjoy. Like it used to be, any teams could play, and if you had money on the game, it was worth watching. But now,
you didn't watch for the love of the game?
No. Not really.
Ever?
No. I mean, I would watch, and even still, like now, it's really strange. The combination of not gambling on the games and the fact that I feel guilty because of guys, you know, now what we know about concussions and everything, I feel guilty more than I feel joy when I watch a football game now. I feel like I'm watching guys destroy their lives.
It's their decision.
I know it's their decision, but it's hard for me now. Like it used to be, I wouldn't even think about it. I would be fine with it. And then every time there's a tackle of any kind, I go, is that going to contribute to this guy, you know, having dementia later on in his life? I'm thinking about that all. It's horrible to watch a game and think that way.
You are getting this close to the get off my lawn guy.
I'm him.
I mean, you're not quite there yet, but you're getting there.
I don't know how it happened. I used to really love football. Like, I got a PlayStation 4 for Christmas.
Yeah.
The old me would have bought, you know,
the Madden football.
The Madden football the day I got it. I gotta play the football game, and I'm not doing it now.
I feel the need. I don't think I would watch the Super Bowl if I wasn't on the radio. I mean, I don't even think I'd pay attention anymore to the commercials or even Justin Timberlake. I would just catch it the next day.
Right. But you feel, we'll talk about it, so you should see some of it, right? Yeah. Well, I'm with you on that.
Care about the game. I mean,
I haven't watched a single football game from start to finish this whole season. And the Bears, it's been 3 years since I watched more than 15 minutes of a Bears game.
And I used to get mad at you, and so did Kevin Richter.
Everybody did.
It's like, you know, come on, this is all we have. You have to be loyal to your team. I'm still loyal to my team. It's really hard for me to say I'm a Bears fan, but
right.
I guess I'm a Bears fan because I live here.
Anytime I see somebody walking around town now with a Bears jersey or a hat,
you laugh
or coat,
at them. I've seen
I laugh, but then I always want to put money in a cup. I just go, here, this, you need help. You obviously need help.
You should do that to the Bears players. Although they're still getting paid for sucking.
I know. It says that on their contract. Paid for sucking. I'm sure they'll be fine.
The White Sox are going to turn it around. And, you know, the Cubs had their year, and they may have a year again, but it just was, I didn't want them to win two in a row. I didn't.
Yeah. You are going to fall in love with Yu Darvish.
Yeah.
You're going to fall in love with him.
Is it a done deal?
I love you, it'll say on your sweatshirt. Why you? I love you.
If they haven't marketed that yet, somebody better jump on it.
You are the sunshine of my life. I see you saying that. You'll sing that every day when Yu Darvish is a member of the Cubs. And the one you're thinking of that ends in
YU? Yes, yes, yes.
Nah, don't bother.
I was going to get that shirt just to show you
don't
every
bother.
Day.
No, don't do
is
that.
Is he a done deal?
No.
Okay.
They're talking to him.
He's
They're considering
pretty great.
Him. Yeah, he would be good. I don't know if he's better. You know, they've had Jake Arrieta for several years. And
Isn't
it looks
he
like
finished?
It looks like he's no longer a Cub, but he hasn't signed with anybody either, and the Cubs are still talking to him. I think they'll get one of those two guys. I'd almost rather be Jake Arrieta.
Well, because you have the song.
He inspires songs in me.
Just one.
Right.
One and done.
Right. Right, 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 right. If only there was a show, Wendy, that for an hour tackled all the greatest sports stories that they could put on a show on our channel. I don't know if they'll ever do anything like that, but that'd be great if they did someday.
I would like to say people should stay tuned because Adam Hogue is coming up in
Adam
the next
Hogue
15
will do
minutes.
It. Yeah. I found this, and I thought of you right away. I don't know what made me think of you when I found this, but
every time you say you, I keep thinking why you.
Yu Darvish. I met Yu Darvish.
You've ruined the word for me. I think about.
I thought of Yu Darvish when I saw this, Wendy. These are things that your parents used to be able to do to you that nobody looked a second time. They just go, yeah, that's what parents do to kids. But now you'd have some trouble.
Like spanking.
There was a time where if a kid was bad, the mom or the dad would spank that child. But now if a kid was bad.
Is that on the list? Because I'm okay with spanking.
I don't think it is.
I know that there are studies saying if you spank your kid, that kid is not going to turn around and be a spanker, but they're actually going to misbehave more.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's all these studies. Spanking sometimes works. It doesn't work for some kids. I'll tell you right now, Michael got spanked twice.
Yeah.
He's 18 now. One was he went to run in the middle of the street.
You can't do that.
And I had to say, you don't do that.
Yeah. And he got spanked.
And he never did that again.
Yeah.
Second time was he almost grabbed, he did touch a pan on the stove.
Oh.
And he got
so
spanked.
So it was in both those cases, it was a wake-up call of here's something you cannot under any circumstances do. That makes
now,
sense.
Now, I don't know. Dylan didn't respond to spanking. I would spank him, and he'd hit me back.
Oh.
Wow. But seriously, and timeouts didn't work for Dylan. They did work for Michael. It just depends. Every kid is different, and I don't know what the best way is, but I still think spanking is okay. I don't think child abuse is okay.
Right.
But people say if you spank your kid, the kid can call DCFS. First of all, don't give your kid the number.
Or give him a different number. Give him Brown's chicken.
Give him.
I want to report my mom.
Yu Darvish's number.
Yeah, give him Yu Darvish's number. He'll take care of business. All right, so these are things your parents used to do to you, and nobody would think twice. They would let you ride in a car without a seatbelt. I never put a seatbelt on once when I was a kid, ever under any circumstances. And I've told you this. My mom and dad on long trips would let me sit in the back, like where the back windshield was. Cars aren't really built this way anymore.
Where a cat would sit?
Yeah, where a cat would sit. I would like take a nap back there and we'd drive around. That was where I would nap.
Your mother let you get away with everything.
They would tell me that's where I should lay down.
Yeah, to get away from
them. Get some sun. Go lay in the back windshield.
Because you were so busy telling jokes the whole time.
Right.
Look at this funny one. How do we shut him up? Put him in the back
Put him in the back windshield. See how he does.
I can't remember when cars got seat belts, but they didn't even
Oh, they always had them, but my dad would tuck them into the seat.
Yeah,
like,
everybody did
that.
Since
we bought the car, my dad would go in back and tuck the seat belts in. We don't need these. Get in the way.
Everybody
used to be able to cut them out with scissors.
No,
I knew people
because,
would cut them out.
Well,
of
that's
their car.
Stupid because if you ever wanted to sell your car.
Except that, like, everybody was of the same.
I guess. I never wore
seat
either.
Belts. That was for losers. Remember that ad campaign?
Yes.
The American Car Association. Seatbelts are for losers. How about this? Did your parents ever do this? Style your hair with spit.
Yeah, I've done that to my kids,
My dad
too.
Used to do that all the time.
In 1959, Congress passed legislation requiring all automobiles to have seatbelts. Prior to that, no seatbelts.
Oh. Not only did my dad used to style her hair with spit.
His spit.
Yeah, his own spit. Or you could buy a bottle of spit. You could go to Osco and get it like a 16-ounce bottle of, they just call it spit, and you'd put it on your kid's hair. My dad had this thing. Now, I don't even know if you'll even have any idea what this was. It was shaped like an oval. My dad had a blue one and a red one, although never at the same time. One side was
this
flat.
This is a riddle.
The other side was spiky. And you would put your finger, index finger in it, into the oval, and you would like brush
it was
the
rubber,
person's hair.
Right?
But it was like being brushed with, you know, the guy from Hellraiser? Cenobite, I think is his name. It was like having your hair brushed by Cenobite's head.
They were pointed nibs, basically.
But you could draw blood.
Yeah. They have those for dogs now. You slip your hand in there and it's flat against your palm and then...
Yes.
God, my dad kept short was your hair?
I had a crew cut.
Well, what?
Because I was in the service. I was in the infantry. Because I was an infant.
God, Bill. See why they put you on the back ledge?
Yep. Because of words like that.
I had done that with the kids, and at some point, I think Michael was the first one to go, Mom, that's gross. So I would have him lick my hand.
Oh,
so it would be his
own spit. That's better.
Not really, because then he
better.
Licked my hand.
There was a time, it says here, Wendy, when it was perfectly okay for your parents to put a Coke in your lunchbox. We always had pop with lunch and dinner and between lunch and dinner.
We were a big soda family myself.
So much.
All the time. Tab was the main one.
The Diet Cola.
My dad was a diabetic, so we had Tab almost all the time.
Yeah.
And drank it all the time. And KO was a big one that I didn't bring lunch very often. I used to go home for lunch.
Yeah, and you have a can of KO.
But if I did bring a lunch, it was KO in my lunchbox.
So that's not carbonated. It's like a chocolate milk
type. Yeah, it was
terrible. Oh, you didn't like KO?
No.
It was like, if you couldn't get
Yoo-Hoo,
you would get KO. Yeah.
And I had a very cool lunchbox. It said U.S. Mail.
Oh.
And looked like a mailbox.
No. I had a Yu Darvish lunchbox, and he wasn't even born yet. My parents were visionaries. There was a time, it says here, when it was perfectly okay for you to be sent to the store for bread. Now, that one's confusing to me, because you could still send a kid to the store for bread, couldn't you? Well, I don't understand that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's different if they said they used to send you to the store to get a bottle of whiskey and cigarettes.
But don't you know people who's like, it
Dance
was a
did
small
it. Yeah,
town?
Yeah, it wasn't.
And,
we didn't do that.
Right. No,
no one really smoked. My aunt was the only one who smoked in our family.
Aunt was a smoker?
And I hated to be in her car.
Yeah.
I would not ride in her car because I hated the smell of smoke. And then I turned out to be a smoker.
How about that?
Isn't that weird?
Yes.
I was adamant about it. I was mad at her.
Yeah.
I was rude to her.
For her smoking.
I was like, I'm not sitting in
my
car.
No, I get it. I understand that.
I can't believe your parents, just your dad, used to smoke like in the car when you would go on family trips.
From the time we got in the car until we got there, he always had a cigarette going. Always.
Jim's parents, Jim's dad as well. And it's like, how could you, didn't you want to get carsick and puke all over the back?
It was awful. And you'd get, headachy, like at the 5 minute mark, and we'd be going, you know, to northern Wisconsin. My dad go, "We're almost there. Keep it down. Go lay in the back, the back part of the car."
You were just trying to get air back there.
Right. I wasn't tired at all. It was okay for your parents to send you to a swimming pool or the beach without sunscreen. Never used sunscreen once as a kid.
And can I tell you, that's what they're saying the problem with skin cancer is now, is the problems you had as a kid.
No doubt about it. There's no question about it. Let the neighborhood teenager babysit. And then there's a story in here about when you would hire a 13-year-old to babysit. Now, I think I've told you this story. When we first moved to Oak Forest, we didn't know. We knew one other family. There was a family that my dad worked with. They're the ones who told us about the town of Oak Forest. But to get a babysitter for my brother and I, my mom would just go up to strangers and ask if they baby, like, they, there was no credentials whatsoever.
And she didn't know them.
Right. Like, one day, we were cleaning out stuff in the garage, and these two girls walked by. They were coming home from school, and my mom just summoned them over and said, "What are you guys doing Saturday at 7? And then they were hired, and they were our babysitters. There was no screening process, no have you ever babysat before, just be here at 7.
She put so much faith in you and your brother, Adam. I'm serious.
I guess.
Or she didn't care about you at all.
Now, I say that with some scorn, but I remember a time, like right after the girls were born, Terry said, "I don't want to be the kind of parents who never go out. Even though we have kids, we have to go out." And I said, "All right." So a few times we had relatives watch the girls, but then the first time we didn't, we had, because we lived right by Northwestern, so a girl was watching Reese and Kylie. They were babies. They were 6 months old. And then I said to Terry, we were out at dinner, in the middle of dinner, and I go, "What's the girl's name who's watching the girls?" And Terry just stared at me. She goes, "Oh, my God, I don't know." And I go, "We just hired a girl to watch our daughters. Neither of us know her name."
And you guys didn't have cell phones then.
No.
Where you could just, you know, text, "How are things going?"
Right.
Although then you probably would have put her name in the phone.
Right.
Wow. Apple doesn't fall far from the
That's
tree.
That's the worst thing I've ever done in my life.
That's pretty bad. I only left my boys with family members. And the first babysitter, there were cell phones. And I made sure I had every first and last name.
Oh, that's better. Then they're trackable.
Yep.
They're traceable. All right. We'll talk to Adam Hogue in just a little bit and find out what he's got coming up on The Adam Hogue Show. Stick around. It's Phil and Wendy on WGN.
We are with Adam Hogue, who is going to take over the reins after us. Hey, Adam.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
You're the one who's out and about. What's going on with you?
I'm telling you, it has been just a crazy day here on Radio Row in Minneapolis.
Crazy good, right?
Well, there was a fight earlier between two Houston radio stations.
Oh, my goodness.
A shouting match. It was very, very professional.
That's exciting.
Yeah. That kind of stuff never happens in the radio world.
Never.
And then I was just sitting here preparing for my show about 20 minutes ago, and Spice Adams, the former Bear, just sits down, and his like best friend from home, Ron Johnson, who now works for KFAN up here, he sat down, and then Nate Burleson, who's on the NFL Network, former Lions receiver, came over, and they started freestyling while we were recording an interview. So
well,
things are getting weird, but it's been a lot of fun, and we're going to bring it all to you here in the next hour.
Are you going to talk dip recipes for the big game? Or appetizers. That's what I'm most interested in.
You know, here's the great thing about me being here this year is I don't have to worry about making food for Sunday or having people over.
Yeah.
And so, no, I'm going to avoid the dip.
All right.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we are going to listen to the dip. He starts in just a few minutes. Adam Hogue, the return of Sports Central. You wanted it. You got it. Sports Central right here on WGN.